marathon's just like a business. It's very long, right? You have to withstand all the challenges. So it's like, how do you reverse engineer this? Because it's not only physical, it's mental. So how do you keep yourself in check personally so you don't burn out? And these are metrics that not many people, entrepreneurs, are always looking into, like, oh, business growth, profit. What about yourself, your own well-being? Who keeps you in check on that?
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we're going to have a lot of fun. We have the CEO and founder of Owners Up, Tanya Alvarez, on the show. And we're going to talk about business owner community. Now, a lot of what she'll talk about is sole entrepreneurs and small businesses and stuff, but it's all types of business owners really need to find our peers. And we talk a lot about here on the show, just the importance of listening and learning from other entrepreneurs. So someone who really does this for a living and a lot more sophisticated than just our little chats, it's going to be a pretty learning experience for everyone. Tanya, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm kind of excited because I've been going through Owners Up and really liking the way about it. But I was kind of just the way you came about doing it, reading a little bit about why and how, I thought it'd be really cool to like talk a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey and where you are right now as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started my first company at the age of 25, literally coming from like, I still had debt, credit card, and I just went for it. I was like, oh, I have nothing to lose. I'm 25. Yeah. So it was a New York ad agency. We had an office in Park Avenue, and literally like I grew it to 1 million within the first year, having no clue what I was doing, but I was literally working hard, hustling, and you know, in some ways it was luck and opportunity. But here I was, and as your company's growing, you're hiring more people, there's so much pressure. And then you start seeing, like, even though like your revenue, the top line revenue is high, you're having to make more decisions to sustain it, right? People, systems, everything. And there was nobody I could really talk to. You know, yeah. I had competitors, yes, but you can only share so much. Your family and friends, unless you're entrepreneurs, they really aren't good at it. And it depends what level they are. So where do you go? So here I was training for the Boston Marathon. And I still, no matter, I was a collegiate athlete, a runner, and I still joined a team to train. So why do I do that? Because training for a marathon's hard. You can do it by yourself and really suffer sometimes, or you can do it with a group of people who understand what you're going through, like how to say no, you can't go out because you have to wake up early to run 13 crazy miles on your own. So you do it with other people. And so within that group, when you're running with others, you kind of share stories, you learn, like, if this injury, hey, take this, or, you know, hydration, you have a coach that's course correcting you, making sure like you kind of, they see their blind spots. And I'm like, why the heck don't entrepreneurs have that? And so that's what I created. It's something what I wish I had, which is Owners Up. So it's a small group of people, five, because there's so many big communities, but I get lost in big communities. So that means I'm one of those that are a little bit of a, like, I listen, I'm a lurker, but I won't post. It happens in everywhere. It's in those communities, in classes, only 10% of people actually participate. Everybody else is kind of lurkers, right? Yeah. So the only way to get intimate is when you have a small group of people. You could be a big community, but in small groups. So you're able to kind of like say, hey, this is what's going on in my personal life that I'm really not handling. I'm not able to sleep. I don't know what to do. This had to fire one of my employees I've been with for since the beginning, like all these things. Because a lot of times people assume that you're just talking about business growth. No, business growth, there's a lot of underlying challenges underneath that.
It's a constant and it's always changing. What I like sort of about that approach of putting together the group, I've done masterminds at different events. I have people I've been talking to that I met at different masterminds or stuff. And then kind of we just went off our own. And I know their business intimately. I know about their hiring processes. I know the new people. I know the unofficial discussion of like, this person is driving me wacky, instead of this speak of like, well, we're not quite hitting the metrics. So sort of instead of going the route of like, hey, we're going to throw, and I'm being overtly negative on some communities, but like, where did you decide to kind of create this more structured approach? How did that come about to create value here?
It's literally through sports. So it's kind of like the structure of like, hey, I need to do this marathon at this time. And marathon's just like a business. It's very long, right? You have to withstand all the challenges. So it's like, how do you reverse engineer this? And how do you, because it's not only physical, it's mental. So how do you keep yourself in check personally so you don't burn out, right? And these are metrics that not many people, entrepreneurs, are always looking into, like, oh, business growth, profit. What about yourself, your own well-being? Who keeps you in check on that?
That's an interesting way of phrasing it. And because I was having this discussion, I'm in the middle now of an acquisition and it may blow up and whatever, but just kind of generally going through this process. And what I've been doing is like, okay, it's going to be stressful no matter what happens. Increasing my sleep, my workouts, the time I go to yoga, my meditations, my food, diet, my medical checkups, partially because I have the time and flexibility to do them all now that I might not. And I'm that focus of keeping it, because I've been like, all right, less for more, but I haven't thought of it in keeping myself in check. That's an interesting thing, not to let yourself get too far ahead, not to kind of burn a little bit more. Can you maybe just what this keeping in check, just because I know this was kind of just a throwaway line when you said it, I think, but it was like, that is a really cool way of phrasing it.
Yeah. So for me, I actually list down everything that kind of keeps me sane, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have metrics to that. Yeah. I geek out on metrics. So yeah. I actually rate my day every single day. And what I do is I just rate it simple, 1 through 5. And then what I try to do is reverse engineer it. Because what I realize is when I measure what's going on, then I'm able to kind of see and like see the pattern. So it's like, oh, wow, I rated it 1. Why? Okay, these are the challenges. Did I handle this challenge well emotionally, right? And then if I'm not working out or doing what I'm supposed to do, it instantly is always 1, 2, 3 in my days. But if I'm on check in the sense of working out, doing everything I need to do, it ends up being 5. Right? So it's kind of reverse engineering all that data. But it's still like you could do the workouts. And if you're not doing the inner work, that's a whole nother level. And sometimes people need to spot it for you to, like someone who knows you needs to be like, hey, Jay, did you meditate? Or like, hey, you're stressed.
Are you following your process here?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because not to kind of play why game, but like, let's just talk about this daily check-in and this daily ranking. Because I've, from time to time, follow like, and of course, the Ben Franklin, the daily, rate yourself, like, did you live a life of super, he has his 10 vices or things, 10, and you're supposed to, great, I'm doing a great job of explaining.
Oh, wow, you're doing it every day? You rank yourself on that every day?
No, I haven't done that in about a year and a half, which just shows because I'm completely forgetting what I'm supposed to be following. Yeah. Temperance, did you speak quietly? And it's like, you can tell some of it was written in the 17th century or 18th century, because it's like, speak quietly just means basically, did you say what you should say and not talk extra? Did you, talk out of class type of thing? But okay, so I've seen those, I've seen different areas, but where did this daily ranking, and I love that concept, because especially in 1 to 5, and then tracking, I have the Oura Ring, I look at that and I try and map the days where I have great readiness or I feel I have great energy afterwards, and then go look at the ring and look at what patterns, alcohol, exercise, friends, etc., that came about. But like, this is cool. And your ability to track that over time is really neat. So how did that come about?
I've been doing it since I was young. So just a little bit of background on me is like, I came from my family. My mother was a single mom, immigrated from Colombia. We were a low-income household. My oldest sister has a rare disease, osteogenesis imperfecta. And so for me, which is brittle bones, and I also have another level of that. And so for me to kind of like defy the odds, I had to figure out like, how do I improve? Especially when you're starting from the real bottom, how do you improve? Yeah. And it's measuring bit by bit by bit and seeing the progress, right? Because if I didn't see progress, let's be quite frank, I would have given up. It's kind of like when people say, hey, Tanya, I'm going to start running. And then they go for a week and they're like, this is miserable. And they stop. And I was like, they didn't see anything. If they're losing weight, they go on the scale and they're like, I didn't lose any weight. And I was like, did you go faster? Did you go farther? Did you measure it? You need something to show that.
Were you
progress.
Deliberate? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it came from that. And then just, reviewing my days.
That was a very tough experience. But from that, to be able to do that, I mean, it really is that like incremental daily things building up over time, such capability. That is cool. I literally have a single instance of a ChatGPT where now that you can kind of talk with it, they have it in the thing. I say, okay, repeat the questions back to me. Let's reframe based upon my answers. Let's reframe and focus based upon five different things. But I like that. I think adding a, yeah, because then I can extract that data pretty quickly. Okay.
And then you can reverse engineers. And then you can figure out what you really enjoy. Or my favorite is just writing down what you actually accomplished that day. Because I feel like some days I'm kind of like, whoa, what the heck did I accomplish? And then I write it down. I'm like, yeah, I actually did a lot. And then I feel better. Or some days I feel like I did a lot. Then I write it. And then I was like, damn, that was a lot of busy work. Like, this is not where I should be.
It's funny. I go back and forth on like how to kind of track those things. Because a lot of times, yeah, when you have the online dashboards and we're running through all sorts of automated things, you can look up what has been accomplished. But it's a little different than versus like spending the extra 5 minutes in the morning, just writing it all down and just like crossing it out again and again. It feels so old fashioned, but sometimes at the end of the day, it's like, ooh, look, there's lots of lines. That's a good.
It's true. But I have to say all that automated stuff is great. But I've seen so many people, they're like, I track my time. I do this. Everything's automated. And I was like, did you actually take the time every single day to like look at it?
Yeah.
And that's
where are
the
you
hard
in the
part.
Business? Yeah. It's like, I had a conversation and someone was automating something and I'm like, that's really good. But what is the impact of this? And you know, it was something that I believe you should spend, you know, a little time evaluating sort of what's is, you don't have to every day, but we were going back and forth, but like, look, now I don't have to worry about it. I'm like, I can look up and I can look at it in one big thing, but I'm like that daily cadence of kind of like carrying the water, sweeping the floor. It's that like, if you ever want to do something, you know, it's like this. And then when you actually get good at it, you still carry the water and sweep the floor. But all right, I like that kind of concept. In so many ways, I've heard other people talk about like, oh, I keep track of like my training. I jokingly say I'm an ex-athlete who constantly forgets that I'm in my 50s and can't believe that I don't just go back to the gym and it all comes back. But one of the things I've looked at starting to do is like, oh, when I was doing X, these were the workouts I've done and try and reverse engineer. But I like your approach because it gives you a little more ongoing data and a little bit more ability to evaluate how you came to that. Not just, well, I was doing X, so I'll do Y. You have more depth to it. I like that.
But I will say with workouts, I actually just show up to a HIIT workout. And just because like there's so many decisions to be made. And at this point, I want a decision where it's like the workout's going to challenge me, the music, the timing. I just show up and have peers around me. But and even I'm going to be doing, I'm training for a century ride and I'm finding others who want to do the century ride with me because by myself, I can get into like a mindset. It's either can be good or it can be bad, just like entrepreneurship. And it's just funner with others.
No, it's true. And it's nice to not have to do the planning of it. Like analysis paralysis is fun, or like, oh, doing a basic workout's fine, but oh, I'm kind of working, you know, this. I want to, how do I kind of get? Okay. And then, yeah, 20 minutes later of like, all right, did I add any value? All right. So you were going through this experience. You kind of had come up with ways because of your experiences growing up. You had your businesses. You were sort of hitting here. You were doing this marathon training, this group. And then you realize that while there was value in there, the structure kind of came in. And let's kind of pick that back up. I'm sorry I took us all over the place there, but like back to like really putting a structure into this community, because the vast majority, you're kind of thrown to the wolves and like cool people, but you're paying a club a lot of money just so you can hang out with cool people and not get anything else. Where you seem to really work on that structure.
Yeah, so we break it down to grit. So G is for goal prioritization. And I think that a lot of, no matter how big you are, you have bias, right? There's things that you think that you're gonna, it's going to move you forward, but sometimes it's just your comfort zone or it's your default. And maybe there's more opportunities you didn't see and you need an outside perspective. So it's your peer, five people that aren't in your business. That's like, they're not like, they can say, hey, based on what I view your strength and your weaknesses, this is going to go. And then you analyze it. So it's really important. And entrepreneurs are, we are known for shiny object syndrome, right? We want to create, create, create. So then how, and how we process it to make sure we're going the right direction. So that's the first part. Rhythm is not only about your personal side, like not to burn out, because there's a sort of, every entrepreneur has this like addiction to success. Like, well, I'll work harder and then we forget. And we keep saying,
a little more.
Yeah. Or we keep saying we're doing it for loved ones and then we're barely with the loved ones, right? Everything takes a back seat. So how do we keep that rhythm? And then the other one is iterating. Iterating, having a KPI or a stat to kind of work with the group to say, hey, this is where I'm going, like getting that feedback and getting the iteration. And the last one, which is really hard, especially when you're in the 7 to 8 figures, is the accountability, right? You do have an accountability to your team, but as the owner, you can move like deadlines, right? Or you can like push back a bunch of things. So it's that accountability. And when you're in, when everyone's in the group kind of in that same value system, believing and like being able to hold somebody accountable, that's when all the magic happens, right?
Yeah. And it really is, that accountability is really interesting, because as someone who has set numerous goals and then sort of my magic trick is sort of evolving it as new information comes to bit. And I know just from my back, years and years ago, I was an auditor and I've been a project manager. It's like, great, having an estimate and having an actuality is fine, but like tracking that variance and accepting that versus sort of just going, oh, we're now doing this. What? Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about, X. It's like that, it takes the right type of people to, because there is something about, especially early entrepreneurism, that first brush of like, this is working. Ego is such an issue. So finding the right mix of people with the right expectation that you are going to have to check your ego, I think is a big, big thing about making sure accountability works. Because really, I've never had issues with that myself.
Meaning getting like, in the sense of like, I've had people where it's, it was easy. They're not, I mean, it was interesting that accountability, when you hold somebody accountable, they're like, well, I did it most of the days. I just missed one day. You know, it's like, well, no, you said this. But you have to make sure that accountability is a tricky one. You don't want to shame the person. And if they do it another time, you kind of want them to understand what's blocking them. Why are they not doing it? And I think people miss that step. They just want to go to the consequence immediately. And with us, our big thing is we have people sing.
Sing?
Sing in front of them.
I was like, wait, sing? Oh my God. I can never join your group because I would just ruin everyone's ears. Okay. All right. So sing. So you sing it and I take it you record this.
Yes.
And is this for blackmail purposes if they don't behave, or is this just urgent?
Just the experience, because it's an instant, like, I have to sing. So then next time you're thinking about moving, like not doing the task you said you're going to do or that goal, you think like, do I really want to sing this song? You know, because money after a while, like let's say AJ is like, okay, if you don't get this done, it's a big project. You have to pay $1,000. You're like, oh, I really don't want to do this. Is this worth $1,000? I don't know. It just, you start kind of like justifying things, right?
Well, think about it. Nursery schools found that when they thought that charging an extra bit by minute that parents were late picking kids would actually get parents there in time, actually increased the amount of time parents were late, because they were just like, okay, I can pay the difference. Like the guilt process. It's like, all right, I'm just paying for it. I had one of the really great coaches I've had in my life. He was like, when we would talk about the things I had said I was going to do, and what, like, I realized pretty quickly he didn't care if I did or didn't, but why I sort of justified or not justified or what. That was, you know, the KPI is the MacGuffin. It is or it isn't. It just exists. It's what I did towards it. And then my discussion of, well, you know, this, and he's like, are you hesitating around this? Is this something you're afraid of? What's going on? I'd be like, oh God, real questions. Damn it.
How do you dodge them?
Yeah, that's the tough thing, but I like it. Okay. So you sing it. So here, tell, all right.
You're not going to have me sing, are you?
No, I mean, all right. I want to get more of the personality here, because this is just so cool. So like, all right, someone joins. I know one of the things I really liked was you had the 90-day plan in coming in. I saw that. I was like, that's really cool. Like because I always ask, like, how can I get more value from it? And you got like, oh, just ask questions. And it's like, thanks. Yeah. Great. I'll ask questions. Just introduce yourself. It's like, okay, how can I? All right. So what is this process? And let's talk about sort of the culture you're creating. If you're getting people to sing, and not to be horrible, but it seems like a great mix of people from the different, you know, pictures of your of the people of the meetings and groups. So it's not like, you know, you have just one type of audience. You have a group of different entrepreneurs, solo entrepreneurs, et cetera, in this group. Let's talk about this culture you're creating within this.
That's actually a really good point. We are not creating the hustle culture. We're creating the culture of people who are really passionate about what they're doing and want to make an impact, but also want time with their loved ones, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So they're not, and that's huge because there's so many ways. You can, most people, if they really wanted to, can grow a business really quickly, right? You have no life, your health might go away, but you'll get there, right? But there's other times, the hard part is having it all be in harmony. And that is the hardest part, especially when you have little ones or your family and everybody wants your time and attention. How do you go about this? And these are the things that we kind of work on. So for example, one of my members, he's running seven figures, wants to get to eight figures, but also it has two little ones. So how does he make the time to do this? And he can, but he's going to be working crazy hours when he gets home, even though he's present with them, he's really not switched off, right? He's still there. And he's still kind of in that space of kind of managing it all, right? Delegating has team, but not fully delegating, not really letting go, not getting that leadership. They're like, oh, this person's making a mistake. I need to step back in. So how do you make those constraints? I think constraints are everybody's best friends, right? Constraints get you more creative and it makes you think, do I really need to do this? So we go through those conversations in that culture. So allowing people to remind them, like, what are they doing this for? And then how can we get constraints? So my big thing is trying to get entrepreneurs to every quarter go away from their business for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Wow. That's pretty aggressive. Yeah. I like that, though. I like that.
So
you have to get it ready and capable of being without you for 2 weeks. Okay.
That allows you to see if you have a company, right? If your company can run without you, you have a company. And then it allows you to decompress and also get you back to those creative juices. Like you have time to actually reflect and not be like interrupted or have like all these things going on. Like you can really kind of see like, okay, where do I really want to take my business? What has changed? So I think that's really good. And it gives you that kind of balance, kind of like what we were talking about the Europeans, right? They work hard, they play hard. Maybe they work a little bit, right?
It is a misnomer, I think, a lot of times of the less working, because it's like, what is it? Finland has the highest per capita entrepreneurism. Yeah. And it is a high.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yep. High tech. But a lot of Scandinavia is that way. And what's sort of coming up, I think, in tandem, some of this early, you know, basic income initiatives where they do the research, 50% of people actually work harder when they're given basic money. They take on more work because one of two things happen. Either A, they can use that money for childcare, which especially in the US is a little bit of a fun thing as we were chatting ahead of the, it was expensive when I was in New York and raising kids, but it's gotten insane. But like also it just, some of the fear of if this doesn't work, what's going to happen? And I've been curious, like when I see some of the entrepreneurs, very sophisticated and whatever, it's like they're very comfortable with the trade-offs of their system to kind of allow them, because I can work hard, yet if things don't work, they don't have our bankruptcy laws, but more of, you know, the personal impact of what that does.
Balance. Germany, it's different though. Germany, it's really hard to be an entrepreneur because of regulation. It's hard to fire somebody. Yeah, fascinating.
And it's also, they have this culture of more of being a part of the system, the company, the union, the guild, if you're being an apprentice. So it's like, great, you have some advantages there, but then, yeah, a lot less in other areas. All right, I'm like, oh, let's start talking about different business cultures because it is so much fun doing it. But no, back to the point. So you're helping people, and I like that you kind of are setting these goals, because as being a member, singing the things, working towards creating this regular ability to step out of the business. I had a friend who's in this one more real estate focus where the whole goal is everyone, you have to have two times your living expense, you know, or your goal is 10 times, but to get in, you have to be two times your living expenses generated from passive real estate income, whatever. And it was just like, okay, I get it because that's the thing. But this is interesting because it's more about having the corporate capabilities structure, corporate business structure to be able to handle it. And that takes work. So is that some part that's also, is that something where you're like, you got to go do that? How does that work within the community?
So what we do is we help people be more creative with their constraints. Because what is that? Have you heard that story where I think it's an investment banker? Is it in Mexico, that story? It's like where the guy's going fishing and he's
Oh, if I do this and do this, I can go. And then the guy
then is like, end up like, retiring. Doing.
I don't do any exactly. of that.
Yeah. So it's the same thing. Like we're working hard for what? Yeah. Right? And at the end of the day, we're working hard for loved ones. Like there's so how many more movies that happen, like that we have to see over and over again of all these successful people, they're miserable or they're sick and they're like, oh, my regrets or what I like, success wasn't all that. Like how many times do we have to see it? So how can we have both? You know?
Yeah.
There's always a cost to everything. So for example, running in high school, I wanted to get into a top school, right? So there was a level that I wanted to compete and I had to, there was a sacrifice and a cost for it. So I wasn't maybe socializing as much or I socialized very like rigidly. Now when I went to college and I was running, like what's the next level? The Olympics? No, I don't want to do Olympics. I don't think I was at that level, but that's a whole thing. And I think in business, I think everyone sees like Elon Musk and all these like things. And they're like, so are you willing to pay the cost to be that person? Right?
There's no life.
So when you see all these entrepreneurs, it's like you want to see the ones that, at least for me, the ones that actually embrace living life, that if they died or something happened, you know that they live life on their terms.
Just a quick aside. What event did you run?
Which one? For the race?
What did you run in track?
Oh, cross country. So cross country track, I was a long distance runner.
Nice. Okay. I was a 400 meter hurdler and then they tried to switch.
That's hard.
It was, but it was fun. It took me 2 years to actually learn how to go over a hurdle in a way that made it fun. But yeah, I mean, but no, it's like anything. It's that mindset of high school, there was another level. College, I mean, blew my knee out pretty quickly, but I also was realizing, I'm like, okay, I thought I was really good at this one level. Now I get to this and I'm like, I'm fifth on the team. Okay.
Right. And then academically keeping up with everything. Yeah.
That was easier for whatever reason. So I was kind of happy when I was like, oh, the knee's not going to ever come back in the way. But all right. I like that. And you kind of come up, you create that, you bring that balance. And it is, I always call it the Goldilocks. And the way you've kind of referenced in other ways, can you maybe talk about that tension that you help, because that is such a big part of our journey as entrepreneurs. It's like, great, we make money, but then how much we take out, how much we reinvest, how much we pay for ourselves. It's like too much. You don't, you know, your company will end up floundering, not enough. And then you personally flounder, time, effort. There's this constant, you've used the term constraints, you've used the term checking yourself. Can you kind of like, how you guide, you know, some of the suggestions of how you guide entrepreneurs you see in these transition points of like growing complexity that they're facing?
So the first thing we do when we onboard them is really understand what would be an ideal life for them. What do they want to do? And then coming from a place of like just being creative and then holding that to their why. So one person wanted to live in Italy with his whole family, right? And it's like, you can make this happen, but you have to let go and start building leaders, leaders on your team, leaders of that. So all of that helps understand like how much you really need, what kind of lifestyle, all these questions, because when you're in a business, you're kind of just going for it. You're just, there's this number you want to hit, revenue goal, you keep on going, which is great. But at what cost, right? If we're going back to a running analogy, you can't continue running. You have to actually rest. And at some point, every athlete you're competing with is almost at the same level. The difference?
Incremental difference.
But it's the mindset.
Yeah.
When you're going to go in a race and you're saying like, I don't know if I can do it, you're instantly lost a race. So I don't think entrepreneurs also have that support mentally of where they are, like reminding them of like what they achieved to keep going. And I think most athletes have it, that strong mindset. And sometimes like everybody, like, they flounder, like they have some experiences. You've seen a gymnast, you've seen basketball players, like they had to go through that roadblock. But first you have to be acknowledge it, be aware of it, and be able to change it.
So being aware, taking the action, and mapping it out. Okay. Yeah. So easy. Yeah. But so easy. Not. But I do like how you build it into a community, you build it into a plan, you add the ability to reiterate and evaluate and track it over a period of time, especially since I'm going to be stealing your daily scoring. Very interesting. I think that's a really cool way to kind of bring in pieces of it, but then directionally adding towards where you're going. So how are you looking to define, maybe just let's talk a little bit how you talked about like this definition of like, you have to be able to do 2 weeks every quarter, not have to, but the goal. Yeah. So, and you ask them where they want to go, they're definite. But how do you help them define that success as an entrepreneur within your community?
It's in the beginning, the questions, and then kind of figuring out, most of them, like, they already get aware of it. They're working literally 13-hour days. They're coming to me working 13-hour days. They're burnt out. They're dealing with some issues, you know what I mean? But they still have this ambition to even grow more and more. So then it's like, what is enough? Yeah. And how do you get that and continue? Because sometimes when we reach success, we stop doing the things that work, the habits that work to get us there, or all these things, we just stop doing it. So then how do we get back there? And usually it's really hard to do it by yourself.
How do you go about defining your own personal success? I mean, not for Owners Up, not for your other business, but for you, Tanya. I mean, you have your two young kids, you're living in Minneapolis. How do you define your success and how do you go about making that definition?
So for me, it goes back to my kids. If anything happens to me, my kids are the ones who are going to remember me, really. Like, yeah. Think about Michael Jackson. We probably remember him for a bit, his music. 10 years from now, who knows? He was a legend. He still is a legend, but 10 years from now, we don't know. So it goes back to your kids or your family. That's where your legacy is. That's what continues to move forward. So for me, being present with them is huge. And not like some people say being present in the same room, but really like nothing else is on my mind. But then when I'm doing other things, I'm so involved in those other things. And the biggest thing I do that makes me happy is I try to find a physical and mental challenge every single year. And so this year it's doing a century ride. So okay, that's 100 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 100 miles. And it's just getting the time now that I have two kids. It's like 1 3-year-old and then running my business and doing everything. Find those times to do those long rides and then doing it with a good time. That is going to be my next. And I try to find every year a different challenge because that builds a mental resilience that I need to keep forward. And then the inner mental resilience is more about like figuring out some stuff like subconsciously, like emotional regulation, keeping my mind in check, right? And that is just doing things that are uncomfortable, sometimes a little bit woo-woo side. I don't know what you want to call it.
I do say woo, but the thing is, incrementally, directionally correct, consistently done, it works.
Yeah, and just immersing myself in those, opening my mind and my perspective. Because to me, it's like the achieving and doing is a little bit easier for me, but going in and delving the inner side is very different. I think it's hard.
So where is going to be long-term success for you?
I would love to see more and more people achieve any monumental goal and finding a squad to help them make that happen. I'm a real strong believer in that. So being able to share my frameworks. So no matter what goal, like for me, it could be from business to I had two kids through IVF. I had a less than 7% chance of having one, right?
Yeah.
All the support and just like, when you have a group of people all learning at the same time, teaching one another, you can just scale and move. We're humans are pack animals, right? And if anything, 2020 showed us that we all need community. No matter what AI, whatever it is, we love human interaction. Even the introverts are like, this is too much for me. Like, I need some human interaction. So if you need find some, more, more people that are your squad, you can actually achieve any monumental goal. And so that overall is my mission.
Well, okay. How can they learn more about Owners Up and learn more about the journey you're on? The people in the audience, how can people in the audience learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on LinkedIn, Tanya Alvarez, or you can direct message me on Tanya C. Alvarez on Instagram.
Cool. We'll put that link up. We'll have the link for Owners Up. And look, I really appreciate you coming on. I think there's a lot of cool things, and I am definitely stealing the daily score from this. I think there's a lot more you shared that is really cool and worth exploring. But right off the bat, I know I'm stealing that. So I'm just telling you ahead of time on that. But thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you know someone who could actually learn from what Tanya was talking, they have their own business or their own community, and they're looking for a community. I sometimes speak well, but not today, it seems. But if you know someone who is, share this episode with them. Tell them to check out Tanya's Owners Up. Tell them they should subscribe to this podcast, because that helps us bring on other really cool entrepreneurs like Tanya to the show. So everyone, thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.